Hi, Leanne, how?
Hi, Chris.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
You are back from.
Yes, I just got back from Los Angeles from the Linux Foundation Conference.
Okay. So the Spring Fall should end this week, right?
Next week.
Next week, okay.
Let's see, actually, technically, we have it running until the 26th because that's the date for the code freeze. So we want to make sure everything's in there. Hi, Murali.
Hello. Yes, Chris.
Hi. Oh, I was just saying, hello. We're still waiting on people, so we'll get started in a couple of minutes.
Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone.
Good.
Looks like we are almost at critical mass, so we'll get started momentarily. Okay, let's see. It looks like we have enough people. Let's get started. Thanks for joining the meeting today. I've got the agenda posted. This is on the wiki. So are there any topics that we need to add to the agenda? What we're planning to cover is sprint four, and then going project by project through the progress and identify any issues that we have. We are getting very close to the code freeze, and if there are some problems, let's make sure that we surface them now. And then any events for the developer conference and any other blockers or open issues that we need to address. So anything we need to add to the agenda up front?
The adding the C and West libraries to the package tools.
Yeah, okay.
So I would like to discuss that.
Okay, great. Anything else? Okay. So Gokul, why don't we cover that when we get to the packaging tools sub-team?
Oh, that's fine, yeah.
Okay. Great. Let's go on. I will pull up Jira, and here's our sprint four. It looks like VNF SDK 52 is complete. VNF SDK 46 is close. We have a number of other issues that are partly started and partly still in queue. The sonar fix, the documentation, the information model, and then the database issues are still work to be done. We have the marketplace CSIT tests in progress. Aligning marketplace with SDC and deciding the attributes for the R1 packaging model. So let's go through, why don't we go through each one of the anything else we need to add? There's a note here about BNF SDK 52 and 78 that still need estimates. But anything else that we need to add? Okay, so let's go on. Let's go through each of the sub-teams. Please tell how you're doing and if there are any issues that we need to work on. From the rest of the team, if you have any issues pertaining to any of the sub-teams, please raise it when we get through them. Let's see. Andy, do you want to start modeling?
Sure. So we're ready to start creating our descriptors for release 2. So we want to start our VNF model recommendations and kind of describe what we want to do beyond release 1. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll have a good opportunity there to start bringing some additional information in. One of the items that we're going to be working on is a gap analysis with the heat templates. And I'm working on getting a good representative heat template that we can look at and analyze. I haven't been able to, I found some internal ones, but I can't share those. So I'm working on seeing what I can do to get, there must be something in ONAP somewhere. So I just need to locate it.
Could you check? Maybe with the use case team doing, what is it, virtual CPE?
Yeah, that's probably a good option is the VCPE, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it was low on my radar right now. So.
Sure, understood.
But I was working on see if we get access to a heat expert, which I was able to do. So that's a good plus. Actually, I found two, so I'm working on making sure you know, I got the introductions, and hopefully we'll get them into the, at least on a consulting basis, as part of the team.
Wonderful.
And then what else are we doing? We're looking at the Vaulty VNF descriptor and looking at how we can map that to the latest release of IPA 11.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Now, I have a little issue today. I can't make the call, so I'm going to have to ask if someone else could run that and maybe just keep a focus on maybe just discussing release two or maybe a discussion around, you know, what's happened at Etsy this week.
Okay.
Alex, would you be able to do that?
Well, we probably don't want to start that discussion. That will be fruitless.
Do you want to postpone the meeting?
I think we should probably postpone and regroup. And Chris, if you have a few minutes, I want to kind of give you a summary of what happened there and how it impacts us.
Sure. Why don't we use it the time of the next hour?
Yes.
Or if we have time, or is this something that affects everybody that you want to talk about on the VNF SDK meeting?
Well, you know, for now, let's just let me talk to you first, and then we can figure out, you know, the right thing.
Okay.
Offline discussion, I guess. Okay. We'll deal with that. I do have to drop at 9:30 today. Unfortunately, I got pulled into something I can't.
Understood. Yeah.
Does Etsy provide a post-meeting summary? Right up.
They will be providing the meeting summary. You will see lots of very colorful remarks from me in that.
Could you summarize? Was there a vote, and did they make a position statement?
I can kind of tell you guys what happened. So in the meeting, Nokia proposed taking the to work on the NFV profile out of Tosca and driving it inside the Etsy. In essence, the way things turned out, there were three proposals, counter proposals. There was one from us. There was another one from Orange, and then, you know, after violent objections from Huawei and myself and GigaSpaces and China Mobile and a few others, they still decided to kind of get to a point where the Tosca spec is essentially the way they've set it up. They're going to start with the NFV profile, but then they're free to make whatever changes they want. There's no guarantee that the changes they will make will be in line with the changes that Tosca will continue to make. And so, in essence, the spec is kind of has a strong potential for being split. So for us, it means that we have to figure out what to do. We can't necessarily be based on a VNF descriptor data model that might, you know, be diverging from what Tosca is doing. So, you know, we'll have to figure out what to do.
I guess I don't have the background on this, I guess, but why is Tosca responsible for creating Etsy's data models?
Brian, just to bring you up to speed, originally the idea was to let the Tosca technical committee come up with the NFV profile because they had the expertise to do so. And there would be a statement of endorsement in the spec, in the Sol 001 spec, that simply would point and say that, you know, Tosca TC has a formal profile for NFV. The advantage of that, of course, is that you could claim that you are completely, your standards compliant, right? That your data model specification is actually based on something that's recognized by the industry and multiple industries. And so now work has been going very slow for all sorts of reasons I won't mention here. But as a result of that, you know, people got nervous and decided to pull the work back in. So The issue with that, of course, is that one of the use cases that, you know, and by the way, there was opposition from other companies like BT and who said that, you know, they, for example, have to deal with use cases, network service use cases that have to do with deployment of end-to-end applications that have database components and network services embedded in one. And that wouldn't necessarily be possible anymore because, you know, there wouldn't be an interpreter or an orchestrator or anything that would be able to deal with, you know, this dialect, this ENF, this Etsy dialect of whatever it is that they're going to produce. And by the way, China Telecom in the past, when we would open up, indicated something similar in terms of a use case. So it's the enterprise cloud use cases, by the way, that they were talking about. So anyway, to make the long story short, we're in a situation where, you know, we need to decide what to do, right? You know, we can stick with Tosca standard, quote unquote, profiles that are available to us and continue to enhance them. We can move in the direction of being Etsy SOL 1 compliant, which doesn't mean that we're Tosca compliant.
Why does the Etsy not want to use Tosca?
It's not that they don't want to use it. They're just more concerned with finishing the specs. So, you know, that came out loud and clear that finishing the specs was more important than trying to keep things in line.
And the speed of Tosca is too slow for Etsy? Is that the point of why they want to pull it in?
Yes, but there's more than that there, Brian. There's a story behind the story, believe me, and it's not something I want to say here.
Okay. So why don't we take this offline and we can circle back in the modeling subcommittee. It sounds like not this week, but next week.
Alex, was someone from AT&T involved in the discussion?
Excuse me?
Was someone from AT&T involved in that discussion?
There was nobody. So this is the other thing that nobody. There was somebody from the Yang camp, but that was a completely different. She didn't say anything.
There was an AT&T woman there Monday.
Do you know who that was?
I didn't. Tin knows. He was talking to her.
Yes, she's a Yang person. Her name is Joanna, I think. Joanne, but she didn't know you, Andy. I actually talked to her and said, "Do you know him? Do you know Andy Mayer?" And she said, "No, I have no idea."
So she'd be okay. The TMF person, right?
She could be.
Was it Jenny? Was it Jenny?
Oh, I'm sorry. She was from IETF.
That's why Yang. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
I would have known Jenny because I've met her before. So
yeah, Jenny know me. Okay. Yeah, good. So I'd like to just find out.
We need to look, Chris. You and I, let's talk offline, and then we'll figure out what to do.
Okay. So we'll follow up on that later. Let's see. Next, Victor and Morali. Marketplace and validation, how are those going?
Yeah, for marketplace and validation, so marketplace, there was one issue like MySQL license issue was there. So that actually, this week we have moved from MySQL to Postgres. And we have finished most of the CS80 test cases, probably a little bit, 2-3 are pending. So we'll complete it by this week, or maybe by Monday we'll complete it. And we have added some seed code for validation. It's basic CSR structure validation, like and getting from basic information validation. So these two we have done. And most of the M4 milestones almost we have achieved. So, and then we are also improving on UT coverage. Maybe I want to take coverage to 60%. And mm-hmm. then we want to finish most of the sonar issues. So as far as M4 is concerned, there's no risk for marketplace and validation. And then we are also integrating with SDC. So we have discussed with Amdocs team, and they are providing us help to integrate with SDC. And we have also discussing with them regarding that UI and all. So this maybe it will take some time, but surely we will complete it by code freeze.
Okay, great. Any issues that we need to discuss here?
probably in next week I can show show that SDC integration.
Okay.
Apart from that, there's no issues.
Okay. Let me flip back to the board. Let's see. So you said the migrating from from MySQL to Postgres is done, or is it in progress?
Yeah, it's in progress, but it'll be completed in maybe today or by Monday. I'll complete it.
Great. And when you do, would you just move it to the done column in our sprint 4 so that we can track that the progress is done? Okay. Perfect. Let's go on package tools, Lian Hao.
Yeah, so I've updated the package tools to include those manifest file information into the metadata. Mm-hmm. Currently, the VF provider still have to provide the content of the manifest file because I currently didn't edit those security features like this integrity checksum, something like that, because I don't think we need that kind of feature in R1. Mm-hmm. So the VF provider has to provide the content of the manifest file, but those kind of information will be reflected into the metadata files. Okay. And the other one is I haven't started the CSIT test for the package tools. I hope I can do it in the next week and finish before the code freeze.
Okay, great. And I see two open commits. With the
yes, VES. They are about the VES library. I see Goku.
Yeah. So yes, you wanted the VES library not to be part of package tools. So
yes, as I said in the email, because putting the VES source code in the VF SDK and have it build during the package build, I don't think this is kind of correct way to do it. One thing is you have two VES source code in two different repos, right? One is the DCAE and the other in the VF SDK.
No, I don't have it in the DCAE. We have it in a directory called demo, and then it's not used much. So we have it on the sidelines. We don't have it in the DCAE or package tools. So I put the code into the package tools.
So in this case, it's just the agent code, and it's being made available to the VNF vendors in case they want to include it in their code.
Right.
Okay. So another question is, if we want to build the libraries during the packaging creation time, how do you deal with VF applications if in the VM image is based on different OS or different architecture than the building box. It's kind of the cross compilation, right? So if we do these kind of things, I think it's out of the scope of the VF SDK package. You want to do some cross compile?
Not cross compile, like we want to compile. First, I would like to know what all platforms need to be supported for the VNF SDK. I thought
yes,
that Ubuntu version, Red Hat. What else? Like and then Windows. What do you want to support? That's the another question I had.
So currently we I don't think we limit the OS in the VM image, right?
But primarily, we target for the Linux, right?
I think so.
So the packaging tools are more related to the CI/CD tool chain for the particular vendor to take whatever the artifacts are that are, the vendor is producing.
Yes, but I think the VES agent library would be used within the VM, right?
Yes.
Within the VF applications in the VM image. So it is not tied to which box you are using the packaging tool to build those CAPEP. It is tied to which kind of OS or architecture you are using in the VM image. So I think it's, right. it's a little bit.
So,
yeah.
So the idea then would be for the vendor to actually do the compilation based on this code.
Right.
Yeah. So,
So we don't have to supply the binaries, but really just the code in the libraries.
Yeah, so that's what I did. So I just provided the code and the make file, and then I provided a Python script to compile the C library and the Java library.
Okay, so maybe my understanding wasn't correct. So my original understanding is that you want to include the binary library as the package artifact. So you do not want to do that. You want to provide the source code as the package artifact.
The source code, but the binaries are the artifacts that will be added to the VNF SDK.
So in other words, they're not necessarily integrated with the packaging tools. They're just delivered with the packaging tools so that the vendor can use them in their code.
Right. Okay. So that's what I'm.
So in that case, if the binary wanted, I think a better way is to have the VAS build the binaries for targeted architecture or something like that.
Yeah. So
and have the VNF package to have the ability to get the published binaries and include it into the
right. So I've written the manifest with a sample artifact built by the Python script, built by a separate Python script. So these packages are optional. Not every vendor is supposed to use them. And well, they could include the binary that is built by the ant build and the make build. Ant build is for Java, and the make build is for the Linux or any other Linux.
Can I ask a question? I'm not clear why it's our responsibility to provide a VES agent. Isn't that up to the VNF vendor whether they want to support that kind of a management interface?
Yes, that's actually an interesting situation. I think we're requiring them to have VES agents somehow because that's part of the certification program.
Yeah, but if let's say in the olden days, I require an SNMP interface. I don't give that company the SNMP agent. It's their responsibility to go out and find a suitable stack or build their own, right?
Yeah, I'll build something that actually works with their product. That part I agree.
Yeah.
I think the only thing we need to do is give them the definition of the events, right? And I think that would have happened anyway as part of the whole certification process. They would have gotten the VNF SDK, they would have gotten the event definition, created the YAML file, put it in the right place. All that would happen as part of the process.
Right. Actually, what we're talking about here is the agent.
To be clear, we are not providing an agent. We are only providing an agent library that would make the agent development, that would proactively enable agent development, actually.
Oh, so you provide
the library API and not the agent itself.
So why do we have to provide to build the library during the packaging creation?
We don't.
That's my question.
We're delivering a code with it in case the vendor must use it.
We don't know which kind of ABI OS the vendor would use. So I don't see the point of build it into the binary. We just provide them with the source code or the jar, or a Java jar. I can live with it, but the C binary, I don't think so.
No, because we will never know what kind of ABI compliance that binary will have, right?
Yes.
So there's no place in providing the binary. They would have to rebuild the library from source anyway in C. Because it's you just don't know. They're going to have version mismatches. They're going to have all sorts of problems.
Right. The library will provide the standardization that comes with the WES.
Is the DCA team the one giving us this requirement?
Yeah.
Mandating this?
It's not mandated. It was they asked if we would send down the agent code in case anyone wanted to build it as part of the packaging tools.
But all we need to do is package it up in terms of the deliverable, right?
Right.
I would imagine that we're going to ship an RPM or something, right? The point is that when we give them the tools, sure, they can have the source to the library. I don't think giving them an executable is going to make any difference.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We are not giving the executable. We are providing the source code and asking the vendor to compile for his platform.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would to summarize, can I leave the Java and the C library code inside the package tools?
Guys, I've been talking on mute and I didn't even realize that. So I agree that we don't want to ship the executables.
We are not shipping the executables. And can I leave the code with the C and Java library inside the package tools? Lian Ha was suggesting that I could put it in DCAE or somewhere else. So that's not a good idea, I think.
Yeah, this is the thing that gets downloaded by the VNF providers. If we put it in a separate directory inside of our artifact, inside the RPM or however we're delivering this, sample VES agent code or something like that. So that the provider knew how to find it. Does that work for you, Lian Hao?
Yes, I think it would be better because once you want to do some updates of the VES libraries, I don't think you want to go to the package tool to do this kind of update.
Okay. Who's the owner? Who owns the code?
Gokul, this is a West team from AT&T. We own the code.
Oh, so it's a proprietary commercial package?
No, it's open source. They brought it to Linux Foundation. It's gone through all the scans. And they're asking that we ship it with the VNF SDK packaging tools, just because that's the thing that the vendors would be downloading.
Which Linux Foundation project is owning that open source code? Is it ONAP or is it OpenFV?
It's ONAP.
So ONAP will have to maintain it then?
Yeah, ONAP is currently maintaining it inside. I'm maintaining for ONAP inside a demo directory, but I have pulled the code, a particular version, the latest version of the code, into the package tools.
So we have a couple of choices. Downloading a pre-compiled library, that could work for some vendors as long as they have the right versions of the OS and all that, right?
Right.
The alternative is that we mandate which versions of the operating systems we would support with the VNFs. And that you maintain the code and you compile, continuously deliver the latest versions with all the bug fixes.
Right.
Shipping code to some other company, right? And it would be, I don't know, Chris, if this has been discussed, but there's a legal implication that you're not giving them a bunch of viruses.
Yeah. What if, if you're developing this in the demo directory, what if we put a link in the packaging tools to download the source code directly from that directory? I'm thinking out loud here, does that make it easier for some of these issues? We have a file in there that says, if you're building the VES agent, click this to download the source code.
How about complaints directory? There's one separate complaints.
But the demo directory is not like is not the mainline directory either under DCIE or something. So we could put a link, but again, the user has to go somewhere else, download the code like that. So
yeah, I'm trying to think, what would a vendor want to do and how would a vendor consume this?
It downloads the package tools that currently will come with it, and then he could compile either Java or C version, and then he could include the binary that is built into his manifest.
How about compliance directory? Because compliance is also related to compliance, right? I mean, maybe not testing, but what this is that? Compliance directory. This compliance directory in VNF SDK.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the VES page on the OPNFE, and OPNFE claims that the VES code will be managed under DCAE, not this project.
The VES code itself, the VES collector, the VES processing is DCAE.
Right, but library API is open sourced, and then it's provided with the ONAP actually. Even OPNFE maintains the old version of the VES library. And
where's the API defined?
API is defined. I can send the link actually where the API is defined.
Is it under this project or the DCAE?
The API is defined.
DCAE. So the issue is that VNF vendors have to include the VES library in their products if they want to work with DCAE, with the VES code in DCAE. So somehow they have to download or create their own code, but it probably makes a lot of sense to download the code that already exists to be able to include it in their products. We don't necessarily know what platform the vendor is going to use. It may make sense if we wanted to do this, to have the scripts. If we want to have, say, the Python build script, maybe reach out to a web directory to pull down the latest source code. Part of the issue here is if we do it in the packaging tools, we have to do essentially wait 6 months between releases. And if you wanted to update that code more quickly and make it available to the vendors more quickly, if you were doing it, in a live place, you have the source code available and have it digitally signed. I'm just trying to think out loud for what a vendor might want. And hearing some of the discussion this morning, I wonder if that may be more attractive to the vendors, that we put some pieces in the VNF SDK tools that get downloaded that have all the pointers back to the latest source.
Have we asked the vendors what they prefer?
Gokul, have you been doing vendor outreach, or is it just the people on this call?
I'm supporting a lot of vendors. So I give them currently a link in the ONAP, but since we are pulling this code into the VNF SDK package, I pull the code into the SDK package. So the vendors actually, I can ask a preference from them, but it's up to us, however you want to proceed. Currently, I give the link in the demo directory inside the ONAP. It's not like a real project or any standard place. So I thought VNF SDK is a standard, package tools is a standard place where the vendors could get to.
Yeah.
Would we, Chris, just a thought, we would probably have to continue to do maintenance on the VNF SDK as companies found bugs or issues or problems or whatnot. It's not that, would we want to keep the cadence of VNF SDK releases in line with ONAP releases, or do we want to have a different cadence there, right? So regardless of who does the updates of the code on the ONAP side, maybe we just need to do continuous integration, continuous delivery there, because that's what the suppliers would probably expect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's actually something that's going to be supported with the versioning strategy that's being developed and will be rolled out soon, so that we could be delivering on our own cadence.
Okay. So yeah, it's always better to keep a copy in the VNF SDK tools, or package tools, I mean.
Okay.
So how about I'm thinking about having the VAST sitting in a different repo, and having the VF SDK has some scripts or some documents to help the VF provider to download the latest source code from the VAST client library and have it in the final package. Is it okay for you, Goku? Or you want?
Again, having a separate repo will take some effort, and then...
Well, we can get that moved through pretty quickly. I can talk to Gilda and put in a help desk ticket and just ask for a new repo under VNF SDK. We should be able to get that through in a couple of days.
I don't think we have much choice but to give them just the source code, right? So
yeah.
Yeah, if you want me to put it in a separate repo, I can do that. So
okay. So why don't we do this? Goku, if you can pull back the change sets that are pending, I will take the action item to work with Gilda to set up a VEST repo under here, and then we'll get it in as soon as possible. And if there's any issue with getting a separate repo set up in time, we'll talk and we'll figure out another place for it inside the existing structure. You know, as Morali mentioned, we could probably get it in compliance or put it in the top level repo if we needed to. So let me check with Gildas, and then we can circle back.
And then how do I link it to the package tools? How would I link it to package tools?
We can add some scripts in the package tools to get those kind of source code and the ability to do it, to include them in the VF package as artifacts.
Can you send me that script?
No, I don't have it right now, but I'm just thinking of those kind of things.
So Lianhao would write the script to link to the VES repo.
Okay.
Is there any documentation anywhere that delineates the project scope of the OPNFV VES and what's being handled here in both DCAE and VNF SDK?
There's a documentation link for the vendors, which specifies the standard and the VEST standard. So I can send the link out.
So what's the deliverable of these different projects, right? That's kind of what the question is. What's the scope of each of these with respect to the VEST?
Brian, so with VEST, you have an agent and you have a collector. DCAE is the collector.
Right.
Each VNF has to have its own agent if it wants to use the DCAE collector.
Right, and OPNFV is just doing the data models around the content that's passed?
OPNFV is a starting point for VEST. So initially, VEST library and standard were supported by OPNFV. But now it has moved that project to ONAP, and then ONAP is the latest.
That's rather confusing.
I have another question. Once we have the use a VS code as the package artifact, who and how they will use that?
The package
It's a package artifact. It's not in the VM, right?
It has to be in the VM. When the agent is developed, the agent has to use these libraries, make the API calls and run. So when the agent is built, so they have to build the jar. They have to pull the jar and locate it in a place that the agent can bind. And the same is the case with the C agent. So if they want to use the C agent, the library has to be installed in userlib. I have written the script currently inside the Python to do that. And then
yes. So here is my questions. Who's responsible is?
They have to copy.
Yes, it's
the vendor is responsible for building up the agent. And he could use the agent library, either C or Java version, and he could copy the artifacts in the right place on the platform.
So in other words, we're not building it for the vendor as part of the packaging tools. The vendor's building it themselves using the code supplied if they want it.
Right.
So does that mean that the vendor can directly put it in their VM image?
Yes.
So why we have to have it as the package artifact if there is no formal way for the vendor to pull those artifacts into their VM images?
We just want it in the directory with the packaging tools.
But wait, what do we want? Oh, okay.
Is the VS interface to the agent a simple REST API?
No,
I don't think so.
The interface from the agent to the DCAE is a REST API.
Repeat that.
The interface from the VES agent, reporting agent, to the DCAE collector, that is a REST API.
Yeah, so why don't we just publish the REST API and then VNF vendors use that?
The REST API is already published, so some vendors may not like to use the library, and they could develop their own stuff.
Yes, some people are going to want the developed library, even just as an example, even if they want to make their own tweaks. So this is just a way to make the source code available to them. That's the idea. That we bundle it up in the RPM or whatever our deliverable is, so that when the vendor is getting ready to create an ONAP compatible.
I think there's a, yeah, in that case, there's a missing piece here is to pull the artifact into the VM image, the script to pull the artifact into the VM image. Who's going to develop that?
Is it supported right now? That would be the vendor themselves.
Okay.
So in other words, it's not mandatory that they use the VS agent. It's just an option for them.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we can fix those detail things during offline or during the email through email communication.
Okay. So I'll take the action item and CC everybody about talking to Gilda. And then we'll go from there.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Great. Let's see. Compliance, we de-scoped for this release. The BBP people did finally publish their code. So we may want to start looking at it soon and considering it for release 2. And then documentation, I'm going to start with this. I have the working information and essentially the demos to create or to build the documentation from. So I'll be putting together a first draft shortly and circulating it with the team. So I'll let you know as that becomes available. Okay, next topic, developer event, VNF SDK topics. Anything that we want to make sure that we bring up in Paris?
I think the topic submissions closed, right? Are we now in the voting phase?
They're putting together a draft agenda. If there's anything that's missing, we can still hit Kenny up and ask for some help. I think one thing we want to do that won't be on the official agenda would be to set up a meeting with the VNF requirements and VDP teams, just as a joint three-way team.
I think that would be great, actually. We need to synchronize what's actually going to be in the VNF SDK, I'm sorry, the VNF model, and what's going to need to be in the VNF requirements to support that.
Yep.
I noticed the 5G team is already defining all sorts of goodness for what needs to be the VNF model, and we need to take that into account as well.
Yeah, I got a question on the VNF requirements, but I see Andy dropped. The VNF requirements as they stand include actual data models and things, and I just disagree with having raw and data models inside a VNF requirements spec. You know, we should be just referencing a data model by URL or something, right? Or version title of the data model.
I would expect that would be the case. I wouldn't have expected them to include the actual data models. That would be a huge mistake.
Well, if we can get somebody from this team like Alex that, I mean, it's out on Read the Docs. You can just go look at what's in there now.
I thought they were trying to link to things that existed elsewhere. I haven't checked the latest version, but I did talk to Steven last week, and that's where things were. Steven is definitely open to speaking with us in Paris, so we can plan that, as a dinner meeting or some unconference meeting at some point to get together with them.
I'll put the link in the chat window of the Tosca section, for example.
Okay. So let's close on that. Paris week, so a week and a half.
That was a meeting with VNF requirements and VPP?
VVP, yes. The VNF validation program.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so this is exactly, just a quick comment on this. So this is exactly what the situation now is. The pointer in the document and the actual data model, A, it refers to an outdated version of IFA. B, it refers now to something that we couldn't call a Tosca version of the data model. It would have to be called ETSI Sol version. So we're going to need to change this to a pointer by reference as opposed to by value here.
Yeah, so let's talk with them, I guess, at this meeting.
Yeah.
And there's a heat section too.
Yeah, that's even worse because that changes quite a bit.
Okay. So let's follow up on that offline. And then any blockers or open issues that we haven't already discussed?
Hi, Chris. Hello.
Yes. Hi.
Yeah, I just want to know where we can get, because packages, VNF packages, which is compliant to ONAP, or there are several vendors have different packages, right? So is there any sample packages? Because I can find only one, not from several packages, maybe two, three from different vendors.
That's a question, because we're still defining this. Volte use case files, if we can get this through the system, should be compatible with ONAP. For the heat files, that's what Andy was saying, that it's hard to find available VNFs, but he was going to look at the virtual CPE use case.
So one thing we can do is potentially take what VCPE is using, because the actual VNFs that were produced by Danny Zhu, they could be packaged using Tosca. That's what he told me. And so even though they're in heat, one good exercise would be to take those packages or those VNFs and repackage them using these tools to prove the point that you can deliver something fairly quickly with this SDK.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So maybe that's something that we should do with integration, or there's an activity post M4 while we're going through the release candidates.
So Lin Hao, Danny is an Intel guy, right? So we should be able to just get in touch with him and get a jump on this.
Okay, yeah, we should do that.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, Chris, I don't know. We need to look at the action items from last week.
Great. Let's see. Yeah. I did reach out to SDC, VFC. On this, there's been some email traffic, but people weren't available for a meeting. Have we been able to close on that, Murali, the package format?
Sorry?
Murali, were we able to close on the package format with the other teams? The email discussions?
Yeah, I think this is already done, I think. This is already fixed. Because okay. Now they are also asked, have asked vendors, different vendors to provide their package. So I think Victor is working on it.
Okay. Yeah. Oops, I can't do this now. I'll do this later. I have some firewall issues. Documentation infrastructure. As I mentioned, I'm working on that. The FOSS issue with MySQL. We did talk with Linux Foundation, and we are moving to PostgreSQL. There is actually an issue using the MySQL connector in ONAP. Because some of the components are licensed with other licenses that don't fall in the FOSS exception to the licensing tools, which means that if we used the MySQL connector, we would essentially be releasing all of ONAP under GPL. So we're not doing that. And then Sprint 4 has been started. And then we talked about the open commit issue. We'll have that dealt with shortly. Okay. Anything else?
Chris, do you want to just how do you want to do the follow up on?
Yeah. Call me on my cell. I'll drop this meeting and then let my computer start doing the post processing for the recording.
Send me your cell, please.
Yeah. Hold on, just a second.
And we decided the meeting after this is canceled.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the cancellation was sent. I'm pretty
okay.
Sure. I'm not. I just saw something flash by, so don't take my word for it.
Okay, Alex, there you go. Thanks everybody. I'll drop the call now. I appreciate everybody calling in, and there's been a lot of progress in the last week, so I appreciate it from everybody, and about another 10 days to the code freeze. But just under 2 weeks to the code freeze. I look forward to seeing many of you in Paris and to meeting all of our M4 commitments. Thanks.
To you.
Bye.
Bye.